What if I told you that 90% of what you call projects are really projects? Maybe that 90% number is a little stretch, but more and more people are leading tasks, not projects. Hold up before you even start asking the question. Before you label that big next task a project, ask yourself, are you accidentally turning simple tasks into chaotic projects? In today's episode, I'm going to be breaking down when you know if you're creating a project or just managing tasks. You'll discover elements that separate true projects from everyday tasks. Miss even one, you're setting yourself up for failure. As you know, this is real project management, not theories. First, let's unpack what the definition of a project is. According to PMI, it's the PMBOK, which is the Project Management Body of Knowledge, a project is a temporary endeavor to create a unique product, service, or result. Let's unpack those three key words. Temporary. A project has a defined beginning and end. It can be part of a program, portfolio, or standalone. Unique. A project is not a routine operation, but a specific set of operations designed to what, you know what, family? To accomplish a singular goal. Then result. The result can be a product, service, document, capability, deliverable, as well as an outcome. You know, I had to make sure I knew those. All right, point number one, defined objective. So a project has a clear, specific goal set of an objective that define its purpose. Here's some actionable tips that I'm going to give you along for each particular point to help you craft what a project is. So using a SMART criteria, we've heard this acronym before, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound to define your project objective. Conducting a stakeholder workshop to align on project objectives. Create a project vision statement that encapsulates the main objective. Regular review objectives throughout the project to ensure they remain relevant and achievable. Point number two, temporary nature. Projects have a defined beginning and end, distinguishing them from ongoing operations. That's the key takeaway, family. Ongoing operations. Here's some actionable tips. Clearly communicate the project timeline to all stakeholders and team members from the outset. Use a project calendar to highlight key dates, including start, end, and major milestones. Implement a countdown mechanism. What this does is it creates an urgency and it keeps the team focused on the end date. And the last and final one, plan for proper project closure and team disillusion. Point number three, unique deliverables. Projects produce unique results, products, or service that differ from routine work. What do you hear happening here, family? You hear keywords, operational, routine work. These are things that people sometimes misconstrue as a project. Here's some actionable tips. Clearly define and document the expected deliverables at the project onset. Create deliverable breakdown structures to visualize all project outputs. Establish quality criteria for each deliverable. Implement a formal deliverable acceptance process with stakeholders. Point number four, resource allocation. Projects require dedicated resources, including people, budget, and material. The key in this one, family, is dedicated. This means these resources are assigned to this project. You don't need to go anywhere else trying to work with other people because these resources have been dedicated to this project. That includes people, budget, and materials. Here's an actionable tip. Create a detailed resource management plan, including skills matrix from team members. Use resource leveling techniques to optimize allocation. Implement a time tracking system to monitor resource utilization. And of course, you want to regularly review resource allocation and adjust as needed based on the project progress. Point number five, defined scope. Here's the explanation. Projects have clear boundaries that outline what is and is not included in the actual project. How do we go about doing this? Here's the actual tip. Develop comprehensive scope statements. Get stakeholder sign-off before proceeding. Let me park here. Family, when you are leading a project or trying to identify if this is a project, if you are not getting sign-off from your stakeholders before proceeding, you will be in trouble because you will run into things like scope creep. And what scope creep ends up happening is because no one really had a clear scope statement of what is supposed to be expected out of this particular project. All right, let's move on. Create a work breakdown structure to detail all project components. Implement a formal change process to manage this favorite word of mine, scope creep. Conduct regular scope reviews with the team as well as stakeholders. Moving on to point number 6, planned approach. Projects follow a structured plan with defined phases, tasks, and milestones. Actionable tips. Use project management software to create and maintain a detailed project schedule. Implement rolling wave planning for projects with high uncertainty. Conduct regular plan reviews and update with the team. Use the critical path analysis to identify and manage project activities. Point number 7, stakeholder involvement. Message, if you're new to the episode, anytime I say message, this is a particular point or a particular message that I want you to understand and get clear. I know I've talked a lot just previously. However, this is something that is very important because stakeholders and your project team are your core, meaning for instance, for this one, when you do not involve stakeholders, and I mean various stakeholders, early and often and understand their different interests and expectations, you are set up for failure. Because a lot of times, and I've seen it project after project, anytime that you do not level set the expectation, what tends to happen is frustration comes from what they believe what was going to happen. If you're clear, you're concise about in your communication of what is going to happen, you will have success. Let's move on to the actionable steps. Conduct a stakeholder analysis at the project start and develop a stakeholder management plan. Use a power and interest grid to prioritize stakeholder engagement. Implement stakeholder communication channels. I one time used a newsletter. I know, right? I used a newsletter because of the fact of the stakeholders weren't reading the information. And you say, well, how do you know they weren't reading information that you were providing? Well, because when we would have meetings, when I would reconnect with them, they were asking questions that were already put in there that was well-written, that was very concise, and it was just more or less, I could see we would have been going over them. So I had to switch up the communication channel, and that's when I started using a newsletter. Conduct a periodic stakeholder satisfaction survey. Point number 8, risk and uncertain. Project inherently involves some level of risk and uncertainty that needs management. Listen, when you are leading a project, there's going to be a lot of things that come up that are going to be uncertain that you didn't even plan for. And now you have to be able to respond to these risks, which can eventually flip to an issue. So you have to work with your stakeholder and your project team to start identifying think outside the box. What's the worst that can happen? You really have to think like that. Here's some actionable tips. Implement regular risk assessment meetings and maintain an up-to-date risk register. Quantitative analysis technique for high-impact risk. Develop contingency plans for identifying risk. And most of all, fam, just don't create a risk register without doing this most important tip. Assign risk owners to ensure accountability and risk management. Point number 9, measurable success criteria. What doesn't get measured does not get counted for. What does not get measured does not get counted for. Okay, I think I've said that twice. One more time. What doesn't get measured does not get accounted for. So projects have a defined metrics or what we call a key performing indicator or KPI to measure success. Here's some actionable tips. Establish clear, quantifiable success criteria at project's outset and track them throughout. Use a balanced scorecard approach to cover multiple aspects of project success. Implement a project dashboard, or what we like to call a status report. You can use that just creating in a PowerPoint. You can even use Excel. You can use Word. You can use Power BI. There's a lot of tools out there that you can use, or even project management software. I know there was a tool that I use, and I talked about this before, which was called Clarizen, and this automatically populated a status report for you. Implementing these project data, you want to be able to visualize, or have the reader or your stakeholders and project team visualize the KPI progress, conduct regular reviews of success criteria with stakeholders to ensure continued relevance. Point number 10, cross-functional collaboration. Projects often require coordination across different departments or disciplines. Actionable tip: implement regular cross-functional team meetings and use collaboration tools to facilitate communication. You want to create a RACI matrix. What does RACI stand for? Responsible, accountable, consult, form for each role across each functional area. Use team building exercise to break down my favorite word of what I like attacking, which are silos. When you have silos, you have to break that down so you can foster collaboration. You want to implement a knowledge sharing platform to facilitate across cross-functional training. Point number 11, budget constraints. Projects operate within financial limitations that must be managed. Some of those techniques are how you management. You can implement a tiered approval process for expenses based on amount, meaning, hey, VP gets $1 million, director, project manager, you know, 250. That is a tiered approach process for expenses. Conduct regular budget versus actual, meaning, hey, this is what we budgeted for. How much are we actually spending with the team and stakeholders? Use a parametric estimating for more accurate budgeting forecast. Point number 12, this is very important, change management. Projects often involve organizational or process changes that need to be managed. So you want to make sure you develop a change management plan that includes communication strategies and programs. There's a theory out there, or I should say a change management model called Lewin. I think I've said that right, but if I didn't, excuse me. Basically, the premise is unfreeze, change, refreeze. And this is basically to structure the change process. Identify and empower change champions within the organization and conduct regular pulse checks to gauge adoption and address resistance. Point number 13, process groups. Now, I'm going to pause here because I've seen in working in different organizations, they've done this different when it came to process groups and how they go about doing it. The formal way, which I want to coach and train here today, is PMI identifier, or I should say the PMBOK. They identify as initiating, planning, execution, monitoring, controlling, and closing. That translate initiating, meaning formally recognizing the beginning of the project and identify project management needs. This particular point is when a project manager is assigned, the project charter is executed, meaning authorized, and a project manager is assigned. And then you also start identifying your stakeholders, planning. This is where your project management plan is being created. Now, don't make the mistake, and I'm trying not to go, you know, on my rant that I normally do when I talk about project management plans, because I see in the industry a lot of times people will call a project schedule a project management plan in the different entities. A project management plan consists of all of the subsidiary plans, while a project schedule is an artifact that measures your task and your milestones. Execution. This is basically where we're actually carrying out the work that we plan. Monitoring and controlling. This is where we're looking at, we're monitoring the progress and seeing if there's any corrective action that is required and or necessary. And then closing, this is just basically bringing the project, all the artifacts and paper together to 100% close. Point number 14, document process. You know what we say here, documentation beats what? Documentation beats conversation. Projects typically follow a documented process and methodology. Choose from an appropriate project management methodology or framework, but let's just talk about methodologies. One of the methodologies is adaptive. Another one is predictive, which is predictive is more of a waterfall. And then you have your hybrid, where it's a combination of predictive and adaptive. And this is really to, you have to figure out what works well for your particular project. Most projects are ran in a predictive, or what we call a waterfall methodology, where it really outlines how, it's a longer process that you're not able to course correct as fast as if you were running a framework like a Scrum, because you are really, you're running in sprints. It is more time box. So it is time box. So anyway, create a project management handbook tailored to your organization. Use process mapping tools to visualize and optimize project workflows. And most importantly, conduct regular process audits to ensure compliance and identify improvement opportunities. Point number 15, formal approval and closure. Projects require formal approval to begin and formal closure process to end. So what you want to be able to do, for instance, for the project charter, you need a formal approval to say, hey, we all agree on this project. The sponsor agrees on this project charter. And then when we're closing it out, we need to have a formal closure report to officially project. You want to conduct a post-project review to capture any lessons learned. But I also want to say, family, you want to be capturing those lessons learned throughout the entirety of the project. We've all been guilty of it as project managers, but as my new project managers coming on, start capturing them early and often. So by the time you get to the end, now you have a well-rounded lessons learned. And then last and finally, you want to archive all relevant documentation for future references. Here are my three closing remarks, family, and I'll let you be on your way. Point number one, remember, not every task is a project, but every project is an opportunity for excellence. Number two, by mastering these 15 points that I shared with you, you're not just managing projects, you are engineering success. And my last and final, now take these strategic management items that I share with you and transform the way you work or see what a project truly is. I go by the name ED for you smart and intelligent folks. That just simply means Ed. And as we state, this is real world project management being discussed, not theory based. Thank you for your time.